say, you always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is a special edition of Follow the Money on the road in Omaha for the College World Series. We're live at Rocco's, home of the world-famous Jell-O Shot Challenge. Pauly in today for Tim Murray, who does a great job here on the weekends on VSiN. But we're on the road here, like I said, and we have a big three-hour program lined up today. Among the guests, Jonathan Davis on the NHL Stanley Cup Game 5 tonight. That's coming up in 30 minutes. Matt Grissom live from here in Omaha on the College World Series. We'll talk to Kevin, who is the owner of this great property, get an update on the Jell-O Shot Challenge. LSU starting to run away with it. No surprise there. Wes Reynolds on the program a little bit later on. Wilbo's going to be on the show. This guy, he is a machine.
This guy.
I have a lot of respect for him, but that's going to be a fun conversation. I think Derek Stevens is going to stop by as well. I thought of where last night ranks all-time bad beat. If you had the Pacers plus 6 or 6.5, The game that came to mind, Pauly, was Atlanta and the Super Bowl. If you had them on the money line, that's all-timer, right? I'm talking big game here, right? I don't want a regular season baseball game that happened in May. I'm talking big game, finals, playoffs, whatever it might be. I think Atlanta on the money line against the Patriots several years ago now in the Super Bowl is number one at the bullet. But in the next tier of bad beats in a big game, last night's right there with it.
103.99, 3:20 left. Catching 6 doesn't go to overtime. You can't cash. 1 point the rest of the way. Mathurin misses 3. Are you kidding? He's the star of the last game, and he misses 3 free throws.
How about that?
Then the silly fouls. Of course, Halliburton misses the 3 as well. I mean, you have to hit like a 10-team parlay there if you have OKC minus 6 in order for that to – you got to get every stop. You got to make all your free throws. You got everything has to go your way. They have to miss free throws. And 103.99, 1 point the rest of the way, 111 to 104. I was nauseous.
That's pretty disgusting, man. That's going to be, and I had him, you had him, a lot of people did, although it did move up to 6.5. That's going to take a minute to get over that game. Here's the thing, though, too, right?
How about up 7 going into the fourth quarter when you've owned the series in the fourth quarter? And they couldn't make a damn shot. 0 of 8 from 3 in the fourth quarter as a team.
Here's the thing. There's no live betting in Nebraska, right? And we were watching the game here. We could cross the border and go to Iowa, but we were not watching the game in Iowa last night. I honestly would have been betting Oklahoma City with about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. You could sense, am I wrong with this?
Really?
You could sense in every single possession for Indiana with about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, it was awful. I don't even know what I was watching.
What was the problem?
It was not the Indiana team that we've seen for 3 months now.
Okay.
No movement, bad shots.
Or go ahead. Trying to hunt Chet. Just try to find Chet and go at him. That wasn't working in the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh.
Well, the thing that hurt them was they had the nice lead, and then the OKC kept their starters in, and they made that run to start the fourth quarter.
Yes, they did.
Big. But still, Halliburton was still getting to the basket. Halliburton puts them up 4 with 3:20, and then that's, like I said, they didn't make a shot the rest of the way. I still thought they were okay. And then it's night and day to go be up 3-1 as opposed to spitting this up, and it's 2-2 now, and you're a 9.5-point dog in the next game. But it's interesting. I didn't have that sense. I felt good when they had the nice lead in the third quarter because I knew they'd been so strong in the fourth quarter. I just, between the collapse and up 7 in the fourth quarter when they've own the quarter and this pace, and we're going to wear you down, and this is what we do best. I couldn't believe what happened. And then, of course, free throw merchant checking in. This guy is Michael Jordan in his prime. This whistle that this guy gets is incredible. I thought that call against Neesmith was atrocious.
He only had 2 free throws going into the fourth quarter.
Well, okay, to that point, how about the fact with the and one second quarter, that was the first free throw Halliburton took of the series.
Oh, I know.
And this guy goes to the line on a regular basis.
He drives to the rack all the time, by the way, Halliburton does.
Yeah.
The call that I can't get out of my head, and it's going to take a long time to get over this one again, the blatant push-off where SGA goes like this with the forearm to Neesmith, and he pushes him out of the way 3 or 4 feet. And then he takes what? I'm exaggerating here, but he takes 6-7 steps. So they don't call the foul. They don't call the travel. Then he hits the basket, and that was like backbreaker number one if you're Indiana.
Yeah.
I'm just like, guys, come on. You're a referee. You've done this 1,000 times in your life, probably way more than that. How do you not make the call? It's the most obvious offensive foul that you can ever make on the floor. You didn't miss it. Yeah. He's right there. And then it's like the end of the WNBA championship last year. So many obvious calls on the Liberty that they never made. And they just allowed that to happen last night. And I'm seeing videos earlier today. I showed you the one. There is, again, fourth quarter. There is a blatant push-off from Lou Dort who pushes Halliburton 5 feet into the, like, out-of-bounds area. And then he steals the ball. There's no call. And it just felt like the referees, like the extender was on the game.
Yeah.
It's like, are we really doing this again now? Is this David Stern's league again?
Yeah. Well, I've been saying this, though, since the start of the playoffs. This has been wrestling and called a completely different way from the regular season. And that we could also make the case why there were so many unders early on. But this guy and this team, they get a completely different whistle than what's going on with the rest of the playoffs and what we've seen for 2.5 months.
Yeah, when it matters most, that's when they're getting the whistle here.
Yeah, I give them credit, though. I mean, again, they made all the plays in the last 3 minutes. I can't believe they covered. I'm salty. I mean, it's a vicious beat. It's an all-timer. How about this one? How about I lose the Dort prop? I had Dort over 1.5 made threes. He hits a three in the first early in the game, right? How about Dort plays 33 minutes and takes 2 shots? What the hell was going on?
He was all about defense last night.
Yeah. But Williams was solid. SGA was great. Caruso gave him a huge game. Turner sucked. Turner was atrocious. Another good game out of Toppin. I got to play Turner props under it and Toppin. It's just, I don't know how long Carlisle can put him out there. But, Toppin was great. But it's like nothing out of Mathurin, not much out of Neesmith. That was a killer for him.
The miss free throws by Mathurin, like you said.
Oh, that's a game changer too. But I know it's not his game. With game five coming up, if I'm Carlisle, Halliburton, you got to be aggressive. You got to take more shots.
Yep.
You got to go. Because other than Siakam and a big road game, I don't know how many guys I can count on here now against this great OKC defense.
I mean, they had that game last night in the back of their pocket so many different times to go up 3-1. Oops. You piss it away, and now OKC is 590 to win the series.
What?
590 to win the series.
Sherman's got 450 at the Westgate. Where's
DraftKings, I saw earlier.
They're
today.
That high?
Damn, they were.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, what a way to cover your first road playoff game, too. God. It'd have been great to come back in here and talk about 0-9 again and come back with the Pacers in game six because you know they'd be getting big dogs again, but... Yeah, maybe they cost them the title. That probably cost them the title last night.
Yeah, I was talking about this with JVT during the game when the Pacers were in control of it. I'm like, so at this rate, what do you make the game five number? Going back to Oklahoma City, if the Pacers hang on to win this game, absolute do or die for the Thunder at that point.
Yeah.
Right? Season's on the line.
Yeah.
He threw out 13.
Oh, God.
I'm like, I don't know if he can go that high, but it was like 11.5.
So you throw out game two, right? That's our season's on the line, got to have it, right? So you throw that out. They were great in that game. They seem like even teams to me. I don't see how these point spreads are this high. It can't be. And it's also the lack of respect for the Pacers still. Like we talked about, how were the Knicks favored in that series, number one?
Oh, sure.
And then they were laying 4.5 and 6 in the first couple games, right? It's just,
well, here's what
it
I
goes
think.
Back to where Indiana's, it's off on how they're power rated.
I want to see if you agree with this. What you want then is for an Oklahoma City blowout back at home in game five. I'm talking like 30-point blowout, right?
Yeah,
they kill them the entire time.
I think there's 7 then?
There you go. And then you come back with Indiana at home in game six?
Yeah.
I think that might be the scenario.
Yeah. Oh, tough, man.
By the way, Oklahoma City had 10 assists last night, 10.
Right.
And they were 3 of 16 from downtown.
Yeah.
And they won the game / covered.
Yeah.
You're winning and covering a big number in the NBA in 2025, hitting 3 threes.
Good point.
How much money are you going to put on the game last night if I told you that?
I know. Good point.
But that's right. We talk about this every game with Indiana, too. Which other is going to step up? And you knew Mathurin was awesome in game three. Probably not going to be the same guy last night. And he wasn't. And that's, I mean, a huge reason why they couldn't cover.
Hey, I got a question for you. Why is it Nembhard on SGA?
Okay, fair.
He should be on him more. He knows him. They've been playing together forever. He's not intimidated. He's not afraid of the guy. It's just he was getting whatever he wanted against Neesmith. And then that was a big sequence there, too, where it's a four-point game. They call that crap foul on Neesmith. SGA makes the free throws. Halliburton answers. And then SGA hits the three. They get a stop. Then he hits the jumper. And all of a sudden, you got the lead. I thought there needed to be adjustment there.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Right? Because it's, I mean, he lit you up last night.
I can't get over the end of the third quarter, though, to you know, go back to that for 1 second. I think they needed a timeout then. Every offensive possession felt like it was discombobulated, and they could have put the game away.
All right.
And it was
interesting
just emptiness the entire time.
Yeah.
It's befuddling to me.
Should have had a bigger lead.
Absolutely, they should have.
Yeah. I still thought they were solid up seven in the fourth, and considering what had gone on.
Outscored 31-17 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. That team. 17 fourth quarter points at home. And 1 point in the last 320. Want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year, just $199. Free pre-order the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Applebaum. No-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. The morning email from Bill 80. Every best bet, every host, every guest. The real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. The dog videos. Our NFL betting guide, July 1st. Limited time offer, VSiN.com/subscribe. Code BOOK to sign up. Code BOOK.
Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're on the road in Omaha for the College World Series at Rocco's, right across from the stadium. Observation from earlier today, Paulie, I saw something that you're going to absolutely love. And people here are animals, and we'll get into the Major League Baseball card as well. 10 runs and 3 innings to come back and cover almost every imaginable run line. Now they got to do it all over again today. Welcome back here early on a Saturday morning. We are live, special edition of Follow the Money on the road in Omaha for the College World Series. And yeah, college baseball fans, Paulie, they are animals. They are wild. Here at Rocco's, right across from the stadium, they were just telling me that they basically sold out of everything that they keep in stock last night.
Yeah, he ran out of canned beer at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Yep. And 280 cases just delivered. He's ready to go. And Kevin said it was his biggest opener he's ever had. And we'll talk to the owner of Rocco's, Kevin, coming up in about an hour. And it was Coastal Carolina after they won, came in and took over Lefties, the bar next door, which he owns. And the LSU fans took over Rocco's. They are at 44-10 for the Jell-O shots, running away with it. They haven't even played yet. They play tonight against Arkansas. Kevin's also fired up, 20% chance of rain. So imagine if it's Arkansas LSU and he gets a rain delay.
So I saw something today that you would have been super proud of. Right across the street, I'm walking over here, and one of the beer delivery men was unloading the truck for another bar. Must have been a pallet of at least 50 or 60 cases of Busch Light. Your favorite beer in the world.
I don't get it.
And they will, no matter how much they deliver a Busch Light here, there, anywhere,
yeah,
it will not be enough.
What's the analogy? Help me out, because remember, my dad was an alcoholic, but my dad was a doctor, alcoholic, but he also drank Busch Light. But that's like Picasso using spray paint. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right? Like, what? You can't do that.
Well,
if you're an alcoholic, you can't have Busch Light, and you drink that Kharkov vodka that we would drink in college.
That's the cheap, good stuff right there.
The cheap crap.
I would say that, but he's trying to be efficient, right, and doesn't want to waste a lot of money.
I don't.
So he just wants the biggest bang for his buck. So as a guy who had to have the sauce all the time, whatever's cheap, I guess, huh? Are you saying that he should have been spending on like...
Well, you can't. I mean, if you're an alcoholic, you think it doesn't make any sense. To me, that seems out of whack.
Your dad was...
I don't know. It's like...
Tell the story again, by the way. He lost his medical license. He would show up to work as a doctor, hammered, and he would be like, okay, where's the next patient? Is that not true?
Yeah, he showed up. He got fired. He showed up, and the nurses could smell alcohol on his breath. But he was ready. It was like ER.
Give me the scalpel.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, one time I went into his office. It was when he had his own practice. And I opened up one of the drawers, and there were cans of alcohol in there. And that was the other story, when he would pick me up after the hockey games. And then he would stop at the red light. And sometimes I can't run this light. And he would slam on the brakes, and the cans would come underneath the the seats.
Yeah, it's pretty.
He was a genuine article. I mean, he was.
That's dedication was, right
yeah,
there.
That's right. That's exactly right. But that's, I know, that was in the paper and everything about, my God, what do you think? Because the other story was, because when you're a doctor, you're on call, too.
Oh, sure.
So he would, if he had three or four pops at night and then the phone would ring, he'd try to wave off my mom. I'm not home. Because I can't. He goes in, it's ball game over.
Right.
But that was the risk he was willing to take. And then, you know, it caught
How old
up
were
with
you?
Him.
Is this like middle
when
school?
He got fired?
In this range.
This is 87 to 91 when I'm living in the armpit of the world, Superior, Wisconsin.
Okay.
He worked in Duluth, Minnesota. And get after it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, today's Major League Baseball card.
No, the alcohol consumption is just something though. They're like LSU fans are ready to again go do it today. Up at 8 in the morning, 6 in the morning.
Evidently,
like our friend, our beer doesn't even count. We don't consider it alcohol. And let's get nuts, right? It's just, what happened here? You can't move, and it's going to be busier today.
Oh.
He's out of canned beer at 8 o'clock, and the Bud Light truck's right behind us in 280 cases.
Yesterday was a madhouse, and evidently, it's going to be nothing compared to today and tonight.
As I understand it, right?
That's because LSU and Arkansas haven't even played yet.
Right.
And those are the big guns we're talking about here.
So the listener who came by as well, LSU against the field prop with the Jello shots, he nailed it.
He might be right.
How about Murray State in second? Where's Big Suey? That's a little interesting. That's just disappointing.
Murray State has like 2,100 plus at this point. And as predicted, UCLA bringing up the rear here, they have like 300. That's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's going to be a disappointing showing for the Bruins.
Oh,
and that
wow.
was, you know,
they play coming up. I haven't even seen a UCLA fan.
I think I've seen one or two, maybe tops. That's it. But last night was a great game, by the way. Oregon State and Louisville coming down to the wire like that in the night, crazy ninth inning under. Maybe that's an approach to take with some of these games would be the under. And I know that LSU and Arkansas has been kind of a popular bet to the under later on tonight. So the Rockies last night were leading a long time against the Braves by a score of 4-1. Guess what happened? They brought in the relievers. Marquez was actually really solid last night. And Paulie, they allowed 10 earned runs in a three-inning stretch. They brought in three different guys, Bird, Vodnik, Rollison, and they all allowed at least three earned runs last night. And they lost 12-4. So again, we talked about this earlier this week, late last week. This team, again, continues to invent ways to lose baseball games. Like they're sailing along last night 4-1. Add some more runs, guys. That would maybe help out at some point. But they go to the pen after they get that kind of performance from Marquez, who's been horrendous the entire year. And here you go. And if you were live betting the Braves, congratulations. But now, again, it's Dolander against Strider today.
Strider 340, right?
Yeah.
In that range? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they look at this. They closed almost $4 yesterday.
Yeah. 13-56, minus 209 run differential. And they're hot.
It's pretty bad.
They actually won 4-10.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's right. Yeah, this is really
What are they on the road? Do you have that record?
That 6-29. Well, the sweep against Miami. I mean, that's you take that away. Come on. And then the A's had their 14-game road losing streak.
Yeah, again, that was Severino, right, on the road?
Oh, he's good on the road.
That's,
I know.
That's the angle that I think you want to take there with him.
Uh-huh.
Also, we're getting a rematch, Yankees and the Red Sox. Good game last night. Red Sox got the win. That's now 3 out of 4 against the Yanks, like in the last 10 days.
I think we're going to look back and say that what could have been.
With the Red Sox?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
They have a good team.
They do.
That stretch they had with bullpen issues and starting pitching or lack thereof, and they're horrible in one-run games. I get they're not out of it, but still – to be under 500 with the talent they have is unacceptable.
So it's funny the way it works, right? Because last night was Yarbrough against Crochet. Both guys were lit up a week ago when they faced each other. We talked about that on the show yesterday. And last night, it completely corrected. And Crochet was the man. Yarbrough was much better than he was a week ago. Today, you have Rodon going for the Yankees, who was brilliant for like 2 months leading into his last start against the Red Sox. And he got crushed by the Red Sox. So do we expect him to have a Crochet-type bounce back tonight? I would think yes.
Yeah.
But also, this Red Sox offense, they only scored 2 runs last night, but overall, they've been humming.
Yeah. Are we going to get a race in baseball? Yankees up 4.5 on Toronto. Detroit up 9 on Minnesota. Houston's up. You turn your head, they slip one in on you. Houston's up 4.5 on Seattle now.
I still expect that one to turn into a
race. Seattle's lost 8-10. Mets are up 4.5 on the reeling Phillies. Cubs are up 4.5 on Milwaukee. Huge win for the Giants in L.A. They're now the Giants are tied for first place. They will not go away. They're the real deal.
You got to buy into that team at that.
Absolutely.
Of course.
The pitching, right. And they're so good in one-run games. Even with that offense. Remember that with 16 games in a row, four runs or fewer?
Yeah, yeah.
And Padres are two games back with the loss.
And that's that's Roop versus Kershaw today. They can win that game.
Yeah.
Right?
What a story.
And also, they're leading the way for most wins in the month of June.
Yeah.
Which their schedule set up to be...
Good race.
I left that team on the cutting room floor this month, but they're doing what they have to do, man. Taking care of the teams that they need to beat and then getting a win like last night when Webb takes on Yamamoto. So they're good. I think, does the American League East turn into a race?
No.
The Yankees will not like...
No, I like Toronto, but this is...
That's the team I was asking about.
No.
I think the NL Central might. I think the Brewers are pretty good.
You think they can catch the Cubs?
I don't know if they can catch them, but I think it can be tight and a little interesting, sure.
Well, just when you're buying into St. Louis, they've lost six in a row now.
Sure, but that was Fugazi, right?
Well, I don't know. They look good to me. The pitching was solid.
And, well, then the other one would be the National League East, though, too.
Yeah, the Phillies will get it together,
you got to buy into Philadelphia.
But the Mets are no joke, especially at home. 27-8 at home.
Yeah, they're very good.
Betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up firstbet.com. Promo code VSIN200. Get a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today.
I'm showing you some of the replays, by the way, from last night in the NBA game. The one that I screamed about or ranted about 20 minutes ago with SGA pushing off on Neesmith. I mean...
And then he traveled.
Don't you want to vomit?
Yeah, that one's bad. It gave him the lead. That was that big sequence in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
He forearm shiver, gets separation, travels, hits the jumper.
Yep.
No one gets that whistle other than him. He's the only, he's officiated differently from the rest of the league.
Yeah. He's turning into a little bit of James Harden to me.
There it is. Right. That's the equivalent.
And I hate to say this because
he's foul hunting too.
No, the whole time. The herky jerkiness, begging for the calls. Gets the call, by the way, unlike anybody else in the league, like you said. And it's, I got to be honest, it's not even fun to watch. It drives me nuts as a sports fan and as a basketball junkie. I mean, Game 5 Stanley Cup Final up next. Jonathan Davis on the program.
Yeah.
I feel like there's one obvious play to make tonight. I'll see if JD agrees with me coming up next here live in Omaha on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Big game tonight, NHL Stanley Cup, game number 5 as the series shifts back to Canada at Edmonton. Nice 5.5-hour flight for both these teams after that unbelievable game and finish on Thursday night. And we head out here to the Progressive Guest Line as the senior NHL betting analyst for VSiN, Jonathan Davis, joins the program now. JD, good morning. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Good morning, guys. This is kind of, it's a little later, but nice to have you guys on in the morning, I think, for a lot of the viewers.
Yeah, good to be here on the road here in Omaha. I was going to say, like, the obvious bet to me tonight would have been on Florida when they were plus money, but evidently people agree with me because they're now as high as $1.12 at DraftKings. Do you agree with this line move?
I mean, I get it. I understand why. I mean, look, they were one shot away and one crossbar away from going up 3-1. And, you know, yeah, they blew a 3-0 lead. I understand it. It's just for me, maybe it's too much with my heart. I still think Edmonton finds a way to win tonight and puts this series away in 6 games.
Wow. Oh, that would be something. I thought Mitch was going to say the over. Which again is a 10-1 to the over, the last 11 between these teams head to head. Take us through the total. And now we're coming off overtime with travel, short rest, and no more Skinner. And Pickard's 7-0. So take us through what you think with the total now, 6.5.
Well, there's no way you can bet under. I mean, you know, bet that at your own risk. I can only bet the over. I haven't bet it because I haven't jumped on it at all in the series. And I've left money on the table. But yeah, I could see sloppy play again that would lead to, you know, another first period over and potentially a full game over. Right now, I'm more confident for whatever reason in the first period over than the full game going over.
Okay, okay. And why do you still think Edmonton finds a way to get it done? Take us through why you think Edmonton's going to win the cup.
You know, I think that, you know, there all the talk about the games in Florida slowing the pace down just because of the temperatures and what it, you know, what it did to the ice. Very choppy, very bouncy. The ice in Edmonton is the best in the league. It allows Connor, you know, to be able to play more of his game. And, you know, what we've seen with Connor is that, you know, especially in the games in Edmonton in the playoffs, his numbers are far better, especially from a shots on goal standpoint. So you get last change, which gives you the potential of better matchups. You've got better ice. I just think this is a good spot for Edmonton. And look, they could have folded up and you know, down 3-0 and even, you know, getting tied late in the game, but there's a different mindset with this team. So for me, I'm going Edmonton tonight.
Okay. So then if over 6.5 for the game total makes sense, then like it has pretty much the entire series, this is correlated. Do you want to bet a lot of these player props to go over as well? Shots on goal, and maybe even more specifically, something that Paulie's been writing now for how long? It's been weeks, I think, with Bobrovsky and the saves over.
Yes.
Yeah. The one concern with Bob and the saves prop is that, look, you know, the books have adjusted, so it's getting higher. You know, if you get to overtime, no problem that he's going to cash it. But I think, you know, we're at, 28 or 29 and a half, and it's not a gimme at that number. You know, it was a gimme at 26 and a half. 29 and a half, especially if we're going to get goals, I'm a little concerned about that one.
Get up there, VSiN.com. Read all his props and predictions for the game tonight. As you pointed out, Bennett, 12 of his 14 goals in the playoffs are on the road, and you still like the price that he's plus 210 to score tonight.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Look, if you were betting the NFL and you've got you got Travis Kelce anytime touchdown, you're not getting plus 210 on a Kelce touchdown. I still think it's fantastic and surprising that we're getting Bennett at 2-1 and in some spots slightly over 2-1 to score a goal. So for me, yeah, I will continue to ride the Sam Bennett train.
Okay, and thanks to you, you've been on this for a couple weeks now. It's on. I have it an 11-1 overrun. That's Ekholm over block shots. 1.5 minus 150. They're not moving this. It's winning every game.
Yeah, I think maybe it was 145 last game, but still 155. It's not like, you know, look, they've really, you know, penalized us on the Bouchard over shots on goal. That's well over $2 right now. So, yeah, I mean, why not? Again, minus 155, a very, you know, very fair number for me to lay when you're getting, you know, you're getting the success you've had with Ekholm. You know, and with Bouchard, you know, what I ended up doing with Bouchard is I parlayed Bouchard and McDavid over 2.5 shots. I get that at just minus 104. And for me, I think that's a really, I really like that bet. I did play the alt lines on both. You know, I played 3.5 for Bouchard at a smaller price. I played McDavid over 4.5 at plus 210 because Connor in these home games, he's routinely hitting 5 shots on goal in home playoff games.
Overall, the quality of this series ranks where as a guy who is, you know, watched and followed this sport for pretty much your entire life?
I mean, definitely number one. There's no question. I don't think that that's recency bias. It's just to have 3 overtime games, and we could have had 2 double overtime games if not for Leon's goal with, what, like 20 seconds to go, you know, in single overtime in game number one. So it's been fantastic. I think, you know, in playoffs that I've been to, Kings Rangers, although not as close as this record wise, I mean, we had a lot of overtime games in that one as well. But no, this is definitely number one. And I think that, you know, if you're not a fan and you've just started watching, I think you've become a fan.
Yeah.
Are we seeing too much of an overreaction on a game by game, excuse me, basis with the Conn Smythe odds? I'm asking because Dreisaitl was 15-1 before the last game, had another game winner, so now he's down to 2-1. Or was the 15-1 just way too long on him?
Well, I thought 15-1 when I got him was crazy. I think Connor at that point was 5-1 and they were tied in points. Like I didn't understand that. And that's why I thought the value was so good on Leon. Now to see where it's moved now. No, I mean, you take into account, it's not just goals that he scored. It's four overtime goals that he has scored in the playoffs. I mean, all of his game winning goals in the playoffs have been in overtime. So I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's a bad, I understand the line move. And again, and it's two of those here in the Stanley Cup final. So yeah, Leon at where he's at right now is still a fair price. And I think that if you like the Oilers, I would just bet Leon for Conn Smythe.
You can tell me to get lost and say there's no chance. What if we're talking back-to-back shutouts for Pickard and he would be 9-0 in the playoffs then if he go back-to-back shutouts? He's 150-1.
I understand it. I don't think there's enough games that he's played. And I don't think, well, it's possible you could get back-to-back shutouts, but, you know, maybe to close it out, he gets votes. I just think that, look, if Leon is a factor still in both those games, then I don't see how Leon doesn't get the award over Pickard.
Okay. And even though you think Edmonton gets it done, you still have to be concerned about they continue to go to the box and the penalty kill's been atrocious again. What's your level of concern there? And maybe Florida has a big moment on the power play again.
Yeah, a big concern. And I think that, you know, look, Chris Knobloch got extremely frustrated with Evander Kane after he took his penalty in the first period. I think he played maybe one shift in the first period. You know, he got very little ice time. He got bumped down. So, yeah, no, there's concern. I think, though, for me, you know, what I find encouraging is that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had only one goal and one assist in 9 previous playoff games against the Panthers. He matched that number in game 3. Edmonton didn't, you know, only had 6 different goal scorers coming into game 4. You know, all 4 players that scored in regulation scored their first goal of the series. So I think that, you know, we're starting to see signs from Edmonton that, you know, this is what we liked early on. I mean, they had, you know, 19 different players scored goals going into round 4. Now they've got 10. That matches Florida. So my level of concern is dissipated a bit, but no, they can't continue to do the parade to the penalty box because really, I thought Skinner was good in game 1. I'm not, you know, that to me could have been 5-0 if not for the way Skinner played early on. But they can't keep playing with that fire.
Very good. You have 7 plays up on the website, vsin.com. For those just tuning in right now, you can go read it. I also tweeted it out at Mitch Moss Radio. Follow Jonathan on hockey at West Coast HKY. Thanks, JD. We appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of your time there.
Yep. Thank you, buddy.
And he was on the Progressive guest line. What do you think? Edmonton in 6?
Well, that would be something. I don't agree with it, but I hope he's right. I have to come back. Ekholm over block shots. He's Bouchard, 27 shots on goal in the series.
Oh, yeah.
You have to pay for it, though, with the 2.5. And
go 3.5 then.
He's right. Well, okay, that's plus money. He's right. You can't take the under. I mean, it's 10 of 1 run to the over between these teams.
No, a lot to get into. Still more than 2 hours to go on the show. U.S. Open numbers, busy baseball, NBA, all of it next year on VC. It's good to have you on board here on a Saturday morning as Follow the Money is live in Omaha for the College World Series. We'll get into that coming up with Matt Grissom at the top of the hour. Get his best bets for today, maybe a little tomorrow action as well. Paulie, they are underway for the 3rd round of the U.S. Open. And a lot of these golfers are in the 7, 8, 9, 10 over range as we speak. Rory's going to tee it off coming up in a little bit. In fact, he might be out there right now.
How about it? He made it.
I know.
The birdie on 18. That was a popular bet for him to miss the cut.
Snuck in at the wire. So that's a killer loss for people who had him.
Yeah.
Sam Burns is 3 under, and only 3 golfers combined are under par as we speak. Will anybody finish under par? That's a great prop to put
it
up
is.
Right now.
It is. I think it will happen, but yes.
And Burns is plus 350. He's a short shot to win.
Should he be? Shouldn't Hovland be the favorite?
Nah, I mean, I think Sam Burns probably...
Well, he had one good round. I mean, okay, you shot five under. Congrats. But
oh, he's also got a two-shot lead over your boy.
I know, but do you trust him?
You trust Hovland?
Talk about some big... I trust him more than Burns and some big names behind him. And I love how Ben Griffin's playing. I mean, he's right there again in the mix. Not saying he should be the favorite, but the guy had was three under at one point yesterday. How about Koepka? Koepka's in the 22-1, five shots back.
We'll find
out. Big round here for Brooksy, tied for eighth.
I think we'll find out everything that you need to know about Brooks Koepka today.
Yes, send the message early. How about some early birdies?
Exactly right, because if he starts to make a run, then you might see like the intimidation factor. And oh, by the way, like how will these other golfers, we see this, you know, we see it a lot with names that you don't, are not household names who like might have the lead or they're a stroke or two back. And all of a sudden they look at the leaderboard, they're like, oh my God, I'm right there with Scheffler and Rory and some of these other guys. Mm-hmm. And guess what happens? They crap the bed.
Yep.
So what does JJ Spahn do today, right? What does your guy, Ben Griffin, do? I think a guy like Adam Scott might hang up because he obviously has the history and he's a major winner.
He's solid. And again, nothing wrong with a par here.
Not.
How about the guy who went in my pocket yesterday? Victor Perez. Tied for six, one over. With only the second hole in. No? Can't do it?
Are you talking about betting him outright?
Yeah. Henley? Who would you rather have? Henley? Perez? Spahn?
Probably. Well, Spahn because of where he's at right now on the board, but I can't do Henley again. I've gotten burned by him multiple times already this year.
Yeah. Something major happens today.
I think so.
And I think it's someone coming from the back to make a push. And when I say back, I'm talking once you're in that tied for eighth range or below. You know, your Koepka's, Day, Hatton.
Day's interesting.
Someone like that.
Hatton,
Keegan,
okay.
Bradley, yeah. Where someone can make a push. Because you never know. Because I'm saying if Burns, Spahn, Hovland, if it goes sideways for him, and you could look up here maybe at 2:30 Central, 3 o'clock Central, and even or one under is your leader. That could be in play.
Sure.
See how the course plays today.
I'll throw a couple of other guys right in that range. They are tied for 23rd right now at four over. What about Colin Morikawa to make a run? He's 35-1. He's also 4-1 to finish top five. He's plus 160 top 10. I kind of like that bet. And John Ramsey, another guy.
Yeah.
They're right there with Scottie Scheffler, but Scheffler is, power rated to the moon. He's Oklahoma City.
Think about that. Seven shots back, and he's the third choice?
Fourth choice. He's 8-1.
Yep.
But you can get Rahm at 22-1. I can't write off a guy like Rahm.
Mm-hmm.
He might put together a four under today.
Yeah. I'll tell you, McIntyre, he imploded late.
He
must have gone bogey to close. Was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Because he was one over, and then the wheels came off late.
So, I think.
But it can happen. Remember, it wasn't that long ago in the tournament that M was three under, and then it's just,
I know,
you know, a couple bad holes, and that's it.
A guy like Brooks is either going to, like, creep back into this thing and, like, touch the lead almost, or he's going to shoot seven over, and that's it for him.
Right.
I don't think it's going to go.
Yeah.
I think there's no in-between for him today.
Could be like a little what Mickelson did. Oh, this is fun. All right. He's going to make. Okay. No, he didn't make the cut.
Oh, yeah. Hold on a second here.
That was it. Yeah. Hovland plus 550. A lot of people had him at 60-1. He's right there. Griffin 12-1. Griffin minus 150, top 10. Koepka 22. Rahm 22. Henley, Morikawa 35.
Yeah.
All right.
That's intriguing.
Perez is 50, by the way. He's got the same odds as McIlroy. Come on. He's got five. He's five shots better than he is right now.
How about Day at 60?
Don't hate it.
He's three over.
Yeah, pizza money.
Yeah. What do you think of Omaha so far, by the way?
Good.
You like it?
I like it. Yep.
It's a pretty solid town.
I can tell you this. If we had more time, you bet your ass I'd go to the zoo. I was not aware of this. They have the best zoo in the country. And I've been to the San Diego Zoo. It was a bad beat. A lot of the animals wouldn't come out. They say they have everything there. And the best zoo. So you got the zoo. You have the steak. Creighton University's awesome. Nebraska Omaha down the street as well.
Nice arena.
This ballpark is great.
Oh, it's awesome.
Going into that last night. And I will say this, because we grew up, something about the Midwest people. Boy, are they nice. I always want to say hello. How's your day going? Hey, good morning. Everyone on the elevator.
Can I get the door for you?
That's right.
Need a hand? Want some help?
Yep.
Whatever it is?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Other than the Busch Light, they're aces. Good people. Good city. And it was funny when we went to the Drover yesterday with lunch. You know, again, 9 o'clock our time. I can't have a steak.
Well, in the morning. I mean, that's a big ask.
I know, but I know you're a fan of the supper clubs, and then with the salad bar as well.
Come on.
But our guy
right out of the garden.
Our guy Kelly just saying people come into the Drover and they have their exact seats at the bar, and they won't tell you to move, but they'll be pissed off. And if you sit in their spot and they just come in, and this is, hey, Tom sits here every Friday, Mike sits here, and they're not drinking coffee.
Isn't that the sign of a really good spot that you can trust when you walk up and you can tell how old school it is the minute that you're going to open up the door? It's super dark on the inside. They open up at 11 o'clock for lunch, and there's like
packed.
40 people in there.
Packed give me on the, a Friday.
Give me the sirloin.
Yeah.
Give me the prime rib.
Whiskey, steak, whatever.
Yeah. That's a sign of a spot that you're going to want to go to for sure.
Yeah.
I'll give you $10 if you drink a Busch Light today. I will buy you a Busch Light and give you $10.
Can't do it.
20?
That's like Buckner going into Shea. PTSD with the dad. No, can't do it.
How much would it take?
You want me to drink a Busch Light on air?
Sure, yes. No, not on after the show today.
On air, $50.
So I have to buy you a round and I have to give you $50.
What? You brought it up.
I'm asking the price.
I hate Busch Light. I know what you want.
Man, that's steep. I don't think I'm going to go that far. I'd maybe consider 20, but 50, yeah. I see what you're doing here.
Get that. It's all right. Uber money back.
Typical Paul Howard move. I get it.
Yeah. What do you think? I think Omaha's been great.
No, by the way, so what do you think about
this
move?
You can't do that. Yeah, I don't care where you are. You can't do the DJ at midnight.
No.
How I fell asleep, though, was, I don't know, it was a miracle. No pills, no drugs, nothing. Somehow I fell asleep. Boom, 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 boom. I can't, come on. Yes, the Thursday night was the worst. It's Thursday night.
That's
at 1 in the morning, and they got the DJ.
Right. They shut it down early last night compared to Thursday.
Well, I caught a break because I woke up. I'm like, wow, it was like 3 a.m. I go, no music. I fell asleep. How'd that happen?
I'm glad you brought up the zoo. Good buddy of mine, Doug Marsh. You know the story here.
Never heard of him.
He and his wife, they had a kid. You know, he's like 24 years old, just graduated college a couple years ago, whatever. They asked him when he was a young kid, it's your choice. Would you want us to build you a swimming pool, or do you want to travel to all 50 states before you're 21 years old?
Oh.
And the kid, I think me as a kid, I would have said, build me the swimming pool. To his credit, Cole said, I want to go see all 50 states. Huh. I bring it up.
I don't like it.
Because they came to Omaha to scratch off Nebraska from the list, and Doug has raved about the zoo ever since.
Okay.
And he's a guy that you can trust because of all the travels, and they try to check off like museums and zoos wherever they would go.
That's the other one. The museum, they say, is great too.
Yeah, that'd be great to go check out. I mean, how about that though? How random is that? The Omaha Zoo is like the best in the country. Good for them.
I was stunned by that.
Yeah,
that's a big upset. That's like Creighton in the Big East becoming a powerhouse in basketball.
I mean,
right?
to top the San Diego Zoo, it's not easy to do.
I think our guy had season tickets. He goes, I have. You know, our big game was Drake and Wichita, and now we're in the Big East. How'd you like to play Circa Survivor, a Circa Millions contest for free? Winner Circa Proxy giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest plus full proxy service. Enter now for your chance to win. Just visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN, winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN.
Big fan of this ballpark, by the way, where they play the games. You brought that up earlier. But
do you have the ice cream?
You know what? I did not try that.
The double scoop chocolate chunk.
Was it good?
Yeah.
They have something like a mint cookie crisp. That sounds delightful.
It's a great ballpark.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Packed. Good game last night. Good finish. See what happens today. All hell breaks loose tonight. Arkansas, LSU, and Kevin. Kevin's loving life. 25% chance of rain.
Yeah.
He wins big if there's a rain delay.
By 8 o'clock last night here, local time. Everything at the bar sold out. Yeah. They get after it. Matt Grissom on the program up next. College Baseball Insiders. We have more betting numbers on the board for this event. We'll find out what he likes coming up next here on VSiN.